Let us pray.
Holy God, we thank you for your word. Your word that rings out in our lives, calling us to be faithful. Your word that shares your truth. Your word that gives us hope for our futures. Help us not just to hear it with understanding, but to hear it as it is the truth for us. And help us to live it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, today we continue our Advent series. We will hear from John the Baptist. Last week we heard from the prophet Isaiah. Next week we hear from Joseph. And then on Christmas Eve we will hear from one of the shepherds. My intention in this series is to give a little more insight into the characters that we hear a lot about in the Advent Christmas story, as well as the part that they play in preparing us for the Christmas story. And so here now is John the Baptist.
Thank you for inviting me to be with you today. Please excuse my dress. Camel hair clothes are difficult to find today. So I asked for something austere, simple. Because you see, that's part of my message. To get back to our Jewish roots. To cut out this ostentation. You know, the cities were corrupt. Maybe they still are, I don't know. People and priests weren't following the law. They were doing whatever they wanted. They were far from capturing the spirit of the law. They used it only so far as it would help them in their lives. But to me, the law, the covenant that God made with God's people, was the bedrock of our faith. Our faith was rooted in the idea of being God's pure and holy people, a people set apart for God. That's one of the reasons I ate locusts and wild honey. Because it was undefiled. It was pure. I was not necessarily an ascetic, but I was a legal purist in terms of the law of Moses. But let me back up. I was born to a priest by the name of Zechariah, and my mother's name was Elizabeth. And as I grew up, I spent much of my time in the wilderness. And the wilderness is a hot, dry, rocky area on the east side of the Transjordan. The wilderness was where my ancestors had come out of their long journey with Moses, where they repented for what they had done to God after God had done so much for them. And then they crossed over into the promised land. Now, some people might say, why would you want to spend time out in that kind of a place, John? Well, I would say because that kind of a place is a holy place. It's where you can escape from the cities, from the vice and the corruption and everything else that goes on. It's a place where you can think. Many people in several groups lived out there. Perhaps you've heard of the Essenes. You might have heard of them because they had a community out there called Qumran. Qumran is one of their jobs as the Essenes was to take the old scrolls that had become unusable because they had faded. And they took care of them. They kept them safe by putting them in clay jars and putting them in a cave. Or by burying them. And I've heard that many were found centuries later. kind of a place. We studied the words of the great prophet Isaiah, who said to make a straight path in the wilderness for the way of the Lord. Our life of holiness in the wilderness was a spiritual way of making that path straight, of getting away from all of that stuff that distracts us when we're in the city. All those voices that say, do this, live like this. This is the way to get ahead. We didn't think those things when we were out in the wilderness in our communities. The people had left God. They were not following what God wanted them to do or be. They were eating with sinners and defiling themselves in the process. They were eating with tax collectors who were charging more than they were supposed to and pocketing the extra. The soldiers, the zealots, were not content with their wages or with their rations. They would attack or coerce people, helpless people, to give them more. Even King Herod, the Jewish king, he was under Rome. He was living with his brother Philip's wife, Herodias. And I spoke out loud against that. And Herod put me in prison. But he wasn't going to kill me. Because he knew there were a lot of people who listened to my voice. And he would have trouble on his hands if he did kill me. But then he was tricked that one night by his wife Herodias and her daughter Salome. And I lost my head. But I suppose since you Christians are coming up to this time of, that you call Christmas, if you want to hear about this Jesus. People ask me, how did you know he was the one? Well, for one thing, you have to remember we were related. His mother and my mother were cousins. In fact, his mother came to visit my mother after she just became pregnant. And when she entered our house, I jumped in my mom's womb, according to what my mother told me later. I heard about that. I heard about other things as I was growing up. And we had met a couple times at family gatherings. I knew he was special. There was something about him that set him apart. And then, I hadn't seen him for a little while, and I was down at the river baptizing people and preaching. And there I saw him. He was walking down to the river. And he came up to me in the river and he said, I want to be baptized. I didn't know why he wanted to be baptized. He was the Messiah. He didn't have anything to repent. He was a good person. My baptism was a ritual baptism, a way of cleansing people of their sins. But he said, let's do it this way for the time being. Like me. He knew there was a proper way of doing things. We agreed with each other on a lot of things. Following the rules that God gave us was important to him just as it was to me. But he went beyond them in many instances. He followed the spirit of the laws, as it were. Now, I must admit that while I was in prison, I heard about how he was eating with tax collectors and his disciples were washing their hands and some of that stuff. And I did have my doubts whether he was really the one. So I finally sent some of my followers to him while I was in prison. And I said, go ask him if he's the one. Or we should look for another. And they went and they asked him. And he told them. He said, tell John what you see. The blind are seeing again. The lame are walking. The sick are being healed. And my disciples came back and told me about that. And And I realized then, he knew the law better than I did. And that he truly was the Holy One.
So you see, I saw my job as telling people to get ready that one was coming who was mightier than I. Many believed that I was the Messiah, and I kept saying, no, not me. There's another one coming who's mightier than me. My job, my calling, was to tell others to prepare the way so that they will recognize the Messiah when the Messiah comes. But in order to do that, you need to make your lives straight. And by making them straight, what I mean is you need to make yourselves as clean as possible spiritually, so that you will be able then to recognize the Messiah when the Messiah comes. You see, that's what happens in the wilderness. When they get out in that wilderness, you get away from all those other voices and people and everything, you begin to see what's real. You kind of become purified from all that stuff. And you see what is real. That's why I make people come out into the wilderness to see me, to hear me. Because they would never hear me in the city. Not only would I be drowned out by the noise in the city, but while I'm there talking to them and getting them to come forward and be baptized and repent of sin, they would be hearing all these other things in their heads. People would be calling out, laughing at them. So I had to have them come out into the wilderness. The silence. Because the simplicity of that kind of place helps one to reflect on what is important. Do you have a wilderness? Where do you go to sit and reflect, to think about what's important, to think about what's real? What's not? It could be a room. It could be a chair. It could be someplace outside. Someplace where you can go and stop the noises in your head and think about God. Think about making a path straight to God. Now, some of you may say, well, I come here once a week. Well, I'm sure that guy who's up there all the time appreciates that. But you need time for yourself. You need to make a time when you connect with God. Because I fear if you don't, you'll miss the Messiah when the Messiah comes. You're looking forward to this time of Christmas when you give thanks and you remember the coming of the Messiah. But if you don't take time before then to think about it, you're going to miss it. You'll miss being visited by the Messiah. Thank you for letting me speak.